Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 13th of August 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, we'll be bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry. We'll be hearing about ionic wind generators that will help to cool your hot chips, how new technology is producing batteries that look like sheets of paper, as well as making solar energy cheaper and more efficient than ever before. We'll also hear how really small holes are helping to make really large storage devices, and why the really big bugs that once stomped all over the earth died a horrible death. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Researchers have demonstrated a new technology using tiny ionic wind engines that might dramatically improve computer chip cooling, possibly addressing a looming threat to future advances in computers and electronics. The Purdue University researchers, in work funded by Intel Corporation, have shown that the technology increases the heat transfer coefficient, which describes the cooling rate, by as much as 250%. When used in combination with a conventional fan, the experimental device enhanced the chip's effectiveness by increasing airflow to the surface of a mock computer chip. The new technology could help engineers design thinner laptop computers that run cooler than today's machines. The new cooling technology could be introduced in computers within 3 years if researchers are able to miniaturize it and make the system rugged enough. As the technology is further developed, such cooling devices might be integrated into portable consumer electronics products, including cell phones. Computer chips are constantly being upgraded by creating designs with more densely packed circuits, transistors, and other electronics components. The number of transistors per chip has been doubling every 18 months or so, in line with a general principle called Moore's Law. As performance increases, however, so does heat generation, particularly in small hotspots. These hotspots not only hinder performance, but also could damage or destroy delicate circuitry. This means new cooling methods are going to be required for more powerful computers in the future. Tiny vibrating silicon resonators are of intense interest in nanotechnology circles for their potential ability to detect bacteria, viruses, DNA, and other biological molecules. Cornell researchers have demonstrated a new way to make these resonators vibrate in a plane, that is, side to side, and have shown that this can serve a vital function, shaking off extraneous stuff that isn't supposed to be detected. The typical resonator is a cantilever, a narrow strip of silicon a few millionths of a metre long that can be made to vibrate up and down like a diving board just after someone jumps off. In research aimed at building the much-sought lab-on-a-chip, Professor Harold Craighead's group at Cornell and other researchers have shown that by binding antibodies to such resonators, they can cause pathogens to attach to them. At the nanoscale, just adding the mass of one bacterium, virus, or large molecule is enough to change the resonant frequency of vibration of the cantilever by a measurable amount, thereby signalling the presence of the pathogen. Researchers made cantilevers about a micron, which is a millionth of a metre wide, 5 or 10 microns long, and 200 nanometres, that's a billionth of a metre, thick, suspended over an empty space about a micron deep. When energy was pumped in from a laser or by an attached vibrating piezoelectric crystal, the cantilevers vibrated up and down at a resonant frequency that depended on their dimensions and mass. Then the researchers demonstrated that in-plane motion can be created by hitting the base of the cantilever with a laser pulsed at the resonant frequency of the cantilever's in-plane vibration, which is different from the resonant frequency of its vibration perpendicular to the plane. To measure in-plane motion, the resonators shined another laser on the free end of the cantilever and detected the chopping of the beam as the cantilever moved from side to side. To show that in-plane motion could shake unwanted materials off a biosensor, the researchers distributed polystyrene spheres ranging from half a micron to a micron in diameter onto an array of cantilevers. The spheres, which attached themselves by electrostatic attraction, were removed by in-plane shaking. But when the cantilevers were made to vibrate more intensely up and down, even so far that they bumped the floor below, the spheres didn't budge, nor did they during the spinning of the entire chip. Researchers have developed a new energy storage device that easily could be mistaken for a simple sheet of black paper. The nano-engineered battery is lightweight, ultra-thin, completely flexible, and geared towards meeting the trickiest design and energy requirements of tomorrow's gadgets, implantable medical equipment, and transportation vehicles. Along with its ability to function in temperatures up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit and down to 100 below zero, the device is completely integrated and can be printed like paper. The device is also unique in that it can function as both a high-energy battery and a high-power supercapacitor, which are generally separate components in most electrical systems. Another key feature is the capability to use human blood or sweat to help power the battery. The semblance to paper is no accident. More than 90% of the device is made up of cellulose, the same plant cells used in newsprint, loose leaf, lunch bags, and nearly every other type of paper. The device can be rolled, twisted, folded, or cut into any number of shapes with no loss of mechanical integrity or efficiency. The paper batteries can also be stacked like a ream of paper to boost the total power output. The creation of this unique nano-composite paper drew from a diverse pool of disciplines, requiring expertise in material science, energy storage, and chemistry. Paper is also extremely biocompatible, and these new hybrid battery supercapacitors have potential as power supplies for devices implanted in the body. The team printed paper batteries without adding any electrolytes and demonstrated that naturally occurring electrolytes in human sweat, blood, and urine can be used to activate the battery device. The materials required to create the paper batteries are inexpensive, but the team has not yet developed a way to inexpensively mass-produce the devices. The end goal is to print the paper using a roll-to-roll system similar to how newspapers are printed. The EPA will hold a public meeting on Thursday the 6th of September and Friday the 7th of September 2007 in Arlington, in line with its continued efforts to better understand the potential risks and benefits of nanotechnology. In October 2006, the EPA launched a collaborative process and invited stakeholders to participate in the design, development, and implementation of a nanoscale materials stewardship program under TSCA. Its goal is to provide a firmer scientific foundation for regulatory decisions by encouraging the development of key scientific information and appropriate risk management practices for nanoscale materials. For information, go to the EPA website at www.epa.gov. A team led by Stefan Hell and Mariano Bossi at the Max Planck Institute for Biophysical Chemistry is now leading the way with a technique called optical 3D far-field microscopy with nanoscale resolution, good signal-to-noise ratio, and a relatively short exposure time. The secret of their success lies in special photo-switchable fluorescent dyes. These rhodamine amides make it possible to obtain highly resolved 3D images of transparent fluorescent-marked samples, such as living cells. Until fairly recently, the resolution of light microscopes was limited by the wavelength of the light. This means that details finer than 200 nanometers cannot be observed. There are non-optical methods, such as electron microscopy, but light microscopy is still the only way to observe the interior of whole or even living cells. The use of fluorescent dyes make it possible to selectively obtain images of individual cell components, for example, proteins. Stefan Hell received the German Future Prize in 2006 for the first concept breaking the wavelength barrier, the stimulated emission depletion microscope. Molecules are transferred from a dark, non-fluorescent to a bright, fluorescent, excited energy state with a special sharpness far beyond those 200 nanometers. Now the German team is demonstrating the power of another concept. They use molecules that are not only transferred, but can also be switched from fluorescent to non-fluorescent and back. In contrast to the STED and other related methods of the team, only separate isolated marker molecules are randomly switched on at the same time. Their fluorescence is registered and then they get switched off again automatically. In this way, the simultaneously fluorescing switched on markers are farther apart from each other than the minimum distance that the microscope can resolve. This is only possible using switchable molecules that emit many photons, one after the other, when switched on. If these photons are captured with the camera, the centers of the individual fluorescing dots can be distinguished. After the exposure, the molecule becomes dark again, allowing further neighbouring molecules to be photographed. This process is repeated many times until many dots become a picture. The full distribution can be reconstructed at a resolution not limited by the wavelength of light. More than 20 years since its conception, a material science experiment designed by a Northwestern University professor is on board the Space Shuttle Endeavour, destined for the International Space Station. Knowledge gleaned from the experiment could help improve the design of a variety of materials from steels to aluminium alloys. Peter Voorhees, Professor and Chair of Materials Science and Engineering at the Robert R. McCormick School of Engineering and Applied Science, began working on the project with NASA in 1986 when he was a postdoctoral researcher. The success of his first two experiments convinced NASA to fly the current experiment on the International Space Station. Voorhees says his goal is to better understand the fundamental science of coarsening, a process that happens in nearly every material composed of two crystals, such as the high-temperature metal alloys used in jet engine turbine blades. During coarsening, small particles shrink by losing atoms to larger particles, causing the larger particles to grow. In Voorhees' experiment, solid particles of tin will grow or coarsen within a liquid lead-tin mixture. Understanding the process, says Voorhees, will help scientists and engineers learn how to control coarsening and use it to their advantage when designing materials. Researchers conducting coarsening experiments on Earth have run into a major limitation: gravity. Gravity causes the particles to float to the top of the sample, which is not desirable. With this experiment conducted in the low gravity conditions of the International Space Station, they'll be able to study, once the samples are returned to Earth and to the lab, how the coarsening process works when the particles are evenly distributed. Plextronics Incorporated announced today that its organic photovoltaic technology achieved a world record in the conversion of solar light to power efficiency. The company's result of 5.4% establishes a new world record for a single-layer organic solar cell, as certified by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Troy Hammond, Vice President of Products for Plextronics, said that the company began its organic photovoltaic development program less than 2 years ago with the support of the Pennsylvania Energy Development Authority. PlexCore ink systems for organic photovoltaic enable the low-cost printing of photoactive and charge carrier layers, which together convert light to power in the organic photovoltaic cell. The ability to print organic photovoltaic cells on glass or plastic drastically reduces the cost of energy compared to a silicon solar cell technology. Specifically, Plextronics technology has the potential to reduce the cost of solar cells below the commercially important threshold of $1 per watt, which is a reduction of up to 5 times that of crystalline silicon-based solar energy systems. Intellectual Property Partners have announced the launch of titanium-based nanowires, a breakthrough material created at the University of Arkansas. When assembled into freestanding membranes, the material, a two-dimensional paper, provides solutions for a wide variety of applications, including chemical and water filtration. The nanowires have applications in solar cells, drug delivery, fuel cells, and high-temperature non-woven textiles. Titanium dioxide nanowires are extremely light, long, and thin fibers. They have a diameter of 60 nanometers and are 30 to 40 millimeters long. The nanometer equals 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter. The wires can withstand temperatures up to 700 degrees Celsius. Their high thermal stability and chemical inertness ensures performance in high temperatures and other harsh environments. In 2006, Zed Ryan Tian and his research team published findings in the Journal of Physical Chemistry. They reported that the material could be folded, cut, and shaped into three-dimensional devices. The researchers used hydrothermal heating processes to create long nanowires out of titanium dioxide. From there, they created freestanding membranes. The resulting material resembled regular white paper. The researchers created tubes, bowls, and cups with the material. Fujitsu Computer Products of America has announced the results of a joint collaboration with Yamagata Fujitsu Limited, Fujitsu Laboratories Limited, and Kanagawa Academy of Science and Technology to create ideally ordered aluminium nanohole patterned media. In a world first, Fujitsu has achieved the basic read-write capability of ideally ordered alumina nanoholes on a 2.5-inch magnetic disc with a flying head. In January 2007, Fujitsu announced 1 terabit per square inch technology, a breakthrough for future hard disk drive capacity expansion. At that time, one-dimensionally aligned alumina nanohole patterns with 25 nanometer pitch were produced to support a 1 terabit per square inch bit recording density. Now, for the first time, Fujitsu has successfully created ideally ordered alumina nanohole patterns for isolated bit-by-bit recording on a large disk area by establishing an innovative fabrication process and confirmed the basic read-write capability in each individual nanohole of the patterned media using a flying head on a rotating disk. Using perpendicular magnetic recording processes, the patterned alumina nanohole media was fabricated using nano-imprint lithography, anodic oxidation, and cobalt electrodeposition at a density of 100 nanometer pitch nanoholes that were suitable to currently available head technology. Researchers at the US Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory have cast new light on why the giant insects that lived millions of years ago disappeared. In the late Paleozoic era, with atmospheric oxygen levels reaching record highs, some insects evolved into giants. When oxygen levels returned to lower levels, the insect giants became extinct. The basis of this gigantism is thought to lie in the insect respiratory system. In contrast to vertebrates, where blood transports oxygen from the lungs to cells, insects deliver oxygen directly through a network of blind-ending tracheal tubes. As insects get bigger, this type of oxygen transport becomes far less effective. But if the atmospheric oxygen level increases, as it did in the late Paleozoic, then longer tracheal tubes can work. This would allow larger-sized insects, even giants, to evolve. The research provides a specific explanation for what limits size in beetles, the constriction leading to the legs. A collaborative team of researchers from Argonne's Advanced Photon Source, Midwestern University and Arizona State University wanted to study how beetles' tracheal systems change as their body size increases. The team took advantage of richly detailed X-ray images they produced at the APS to examine the dimensions of tracheal tubes in 4 beetle species, ranging in body mass by a factor of 1,000. Overall, they found that the larger beetle species devote a disproportionately greater fraction of their body to tracheal tubes than do smaller species. The team focused in particular on the passageways that lead from the body core to the head and to the legs. They reasoned that these orifices may be bottlenecks for tracheal tubes, limiting how much oxygen can be delivered to the extremities. Researchers at Sandia National Laboratories in Albuquerque and Livermore, California, are part of a team looking at the production of military jet propellant 8, or JP-8, fuel based on the use of renewable biomass oil crop feedstocks, including microalgae. The goal of the 18-month effort, which is backed by a $6.7 million project award from DARPA, is to develop and commercialize a process to produce the JP-8 fuel used by the US and NATO militaries. Sandia researchers will collaborate closely with team members at UOP, Cargill and Arizona State Universities to evaluate technical, economic and environmental interdependencies, conduct comparative life cycle analyses and trade-off assessments, and assess the scale-up feasibility of high-volume bio-oil feedback and JP-8 fuel production from oil-rich microalgae and other suitable crops. Sandia will specifically address issues and options for the necessary expansion of reliable and cost-competitive oil crop production and oil feedstock processing. Fuel produced by the new process will have to meet stringent military specifications and is expected to achieve 90% energy efficiency for maximum conversion of feed to fuel to reduce waste and production costs. UOP expects the technology will be viable for future use in the production of fuel for commercial jets. The project is expected to be completed by the end of 2008. When most people look out a window, they see a solid pane of glass. But for decades, physicists have pondered the mysteries of window glass. Is glass a solid or merely an extremely slow-moving liquid? An Emory University research team led by physicist Eric Weeks has yielded another clue in the glass puzzle. demonstrating that unlike liquids, glasses aren't comfortable in confined spaces. Weeks has devoted his career to probing the mysteries of squishy substances that can't be pinned down as solids or liquids. Referred to as soft condensed materials, they include everyday substances such as toothpaste, peanut butter, shaving cream, plastic and glass. Scientists fully understand the process of turning water into ice. As the temperature cools, the movement of the water molecules slows. At 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 degrees Celsius, the molecules form crystal lattices, solidifying into ice. In contrast, the molecules of glasses don't crystallize. The movement of the glass molecules slow as the temperature cools, but they never lock into crystal patterns. Instead, they jumble up and gradually become glassier or more viscous. No one understands exactly why this happens. The Emory Physics Lab began zeroing in on this question 2 years ago when Hetal Patel, an undergraduate who was majoring in chemistry and history, designed a wedge-shaped chamber using glass and glass microscope slides that allowed observation of single samples of glassy materials confined at decreasing diameters. For samples, the Emory lab used mixtures of water and tiny plastic balls, each about the size of the nucleus of a cell. This model system acts like a glass when the particle concentration is increased. The samples were packed into the wedge-shaped chambers, then placed in a confocal microscope, which digitally scanned cross-sections of the samples, creating up to 480 images per second. The result was three-dimensional digital movies showing the movement and behavior of the particles over time within different regions of the chamber. The data showed that the narrower the sample chamber, the slower the particles moved and the closer they came to being glass-like. When the researchers increased the particle concentration in the samples, the confinement-induced slowing occurred at a larger plate separation. The dimensions between the plates at which the particles consistently slowed their movement was 200 particles across. Nanotechnology is one example of a field that can benefit from research into the behavior of colloidal glass and plastics in tight spaces. The delivery, manipulation, and assembly of functional materials such as metal nanoparticles into predefined architectures and patterns is of great interest in nanotechnology. Nanoscale patterns of nanoparticles have the potential to be used in miniature electron circuits or in plasmon waveguides to guide the transport of electromagnetic energy below the diffraction limit. Nanoparticles functionalized with biological materials can also be placed between electrodes for use in biosensing applications. Researchers from the Northwestern University have now demonstrated the ability of a third-generation nano-fountain probe to directly deposit gold nanoparticles 15 nanometers in diameter onto silicon substrates. The NFP is a cantilevered probe chip that can be mounted on commercial atomic force microscopy equipment. On-chip reservoirs hold liquid inks, such as nanoparticle solutions, which are delivered through enclosed channels to ring-shaped aperture tips. High-throughput microfluidic transport of molecular inks to AFM tips is of great interest since fluid is a very effective medium for the direct delivery of molecules, which self-assemble on substrates with very specific nanoscale architectures. Previous versions of the nanofountain probes were shown to be capable of depositing solutions of fluorescent dyes, alkanethiols, and DNA. Among several design changes, the latest nanofountain probes have deeper microchannels to allow the facile delivery of larger particles, such as gold nanoparticles 15 nanometers in diameter. Probe-based deposition techniques are amenable to high-resolution, nanoscale, and flexible patterns in which the desired structure can easily be altered at any time. Dipper nanolithography, in which a commercial AFM probe is coated with molecules to be deposited, is capable of making high-resolution patterns of many chemicals and biological materials. However, standard DPN techniques have not been able to deposit suspensions of solid nanoparticles. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 13th of August 2007. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast, or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.